She came from Kansas with a sound that shook, or should I say rocked, contemporary Christian music.
At the end of the day, art, to me, at its finest, reflects who we are and what we're experiencing. And it's not always about making a commentary or leading you to a particular destination. It's just an insight into that day and that moment in time. I love it when I can make a grown man cry.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappelle. Kenya court orders protections for transgender people, gay CDC hero resigns with RFK Jr. protesters, and Jennifer Knapp's Christian rock journeys from Kansas to Oz and back. Those stories and more this week, now that you've found This Way Out.
I'm Michael Taylor Gray.
And I'm Ava Davis.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending August 30th, 2025. A court in Kenya has ordered lawmakers to protect the rights of transgender people. The victorious ruling for trans woman Shais Chepkosgei is being called a first on the African continent. Chepkosgei is identified in court documents only as SC. She's been living in her affirmed gender since childhood and competed in women's athletics as a marathon runner while living abroad. However, while visiting Moy Teaching and Referral Hospital in the city of Eldoret in 2019, she was arrested and charged with impersonation. She was taken to a women's prison and strip-searched. A court ordered a gender determination process that included a genital examination, hormone testing, blood sampling, and radiological testing. Her medical records were later leaked to local media. The rights group Transgender Education and Advocacy backed Chepkosgei's lawsuit against the Kenya Prison Service and the Eldoret Hospital. She charged that the treatment she faced was unconstitutional and that her rights to privacy and dignity had been violated. Eldoret High Court Justice Ruben N. Niakundi agreed with SC. He wrote that her freedom from inhuman and degrading treatment had also been violated, and awarded her 1 million Kenyan shillings, about $7,700 in damages. Niakundi also ordered the government to address the rights of trans Kenyans. The legislature can either amend the pending intersex persons bill or introduce transgender protection separately. Speaking for the queer rights group Jinsiangu, Lalin Anger told Mamba Online he's looking for clear legal recognition of gender identity, protect against discrimination in employment, housing, healthcare, and education, and provide access to public services without bias or harassment. Hostility towards LGBTQ people runs high in Kenya. The East African nation offers no legal protections. Same-gender sex is criminalized. Sexual and gender minorities are shunned by society, and verbal and physical abuse is routine. Trans people cannot legally change gender. The National Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission won its right to official legal recognition as a non-governmental organization in the Kenyan Supreme Court in 2023 after years of litigation. It's not clear whether Justice Niankundi's ruling can be appealed or how lawmakers will respond to his order.
You are the people that protect America. And America needs to see that you are the people that protect America. And we are going to be your loudest advocates.
Dr. Dimitri Daskalakis was cheered as a hero when he departed the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention along with other CDC leaders who resigned on August 27th. The bold gay immunization and respiratory diseases official most recently led the U.S. response to Mpox. Now, he's another casualty of President Donald Trump's war on science and truth. Daskalakis and his compatriots walked out on the heels of the administration's attempt to fire CDC Director Susan Menares. She's resisting. Her lawyers point to her refusal to rubber stamp what they called unscientific, reckless directives from Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. The secretary, with no professional experience in medicine or healthcare, has denied the effectiveness of vaccines. In his blistering resignation letter, Dr. Daskalakis said in part, "After much contemplation and reflection on recent developments and perspectives brought to light by Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., I find that the views he and his staff have shared challenge my ability to continue in my current role at the agency and in the service of the health of the American people." He called out the agency for radical non-transparency, unskilled manipulation of data, and charged his bosses with being people of dubious intent and more dubious scientific rigor. As Deputy Health Commissioner in New York City at the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, the 51-year-old doctor championed specific outreach to the LGBTQ+ community. He then became the Biden administration's director of the CDC's Division of HIV and AIDS Prevention. His confrontational style drives the far-right crazy with his prolific pentagram tattoos, leather gear, and suggestive thirst-trapped social media posts. His resignation letter went on to cite, "The recklessness of the administration in their efforts to erase transgender populations, cease critical domestic and international HIV programming, and terminate key research to support equity as part of my decision." Dr. Daskalakis told The Advocate, "I gave up my job as a red flag. This is a 5-alarm fire. If people don't act now, ideology will fully consume science."
Illinois outspoken Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker says he likes going on offense and not being on defense.
The state of Illinois today, I am announcing, is launching a first-of-its-kind legal hotline for LGBTQ individuals across the state.
The debut of Illinois Pride Connect came soon after the Trump administration pulled funding for a federal queer youth suicide prevention hotline.
Illinois Pride Connect will provide resources on healthcare and education, on immigration, social services, family protections, and beyond. It will answer frequently asked questions. It will inform individuals of their rights and provide advocacy tools. Together, we are fighting ignorance with information. We're fighting cruelty with compassion.
The state jump-started funding of the helpline with a $250,000 investment and $100,000 in private donations. Additional funding has come from nonprofit organizations like the Illinois Department of Health and Human Services, the Legal Counsel for Health Justice, and the queer advocacy group Equality Illinois. Illinois Pride Connect operates in both English and Spanish from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. local time Mondays through Thursdays. Find them online at ilprideconnect.org.
A U.S. federal judge is fed up with Artemis Langford's Kappa Kappa Gamma sorority sisters trying to boot her out of their University of Wyoming chapter. Disgruntled alumni members who objected to the acceptance of a trans woman got their first taste of District Judge Alan B. Johnson's justice in 2023. He wrote in his original ruling, "Nothing in the bylaws or the standing rules require Kappa to narrowly define the words women or woman to include only individuals born with a certain set of reproductive organs." Kappa Kappa Gamma's definition of women was revised to include trans women in 2015 by the National Kappa Fraternity Council. Langford became its first transgender sister 7 years later. About a year after losing on appeal, the plaintiffs refiled their lawsuit challenging Langford's membership. An exasperated Johnson restated that he did not intend to interfere in the sorority's valid interpretation of its own bylaws. He dismissed the case on August 22nd with prejudice, which means that the complaint cannot be brought before any judge again.
Finally,
I played in the AFL for 10 years for the West Coast Eagles, and I'm a bisexual man.
Former Perth-based West Coast Eagles defender Mitch Brown shook up the sport this week by coming out as bi in the Daily Aus. He says the pressure of hiding his sexuality contributed to his decision to retire in 2016 at the age of 28. No former or current male player has ever publicly identified as gay or bi in the league's 129-year history. Toxic masculinity continues to prevail. A highly offensive homophobic slur against an opponent got high-profile player Isaac Rankin suspended for several matches in June, essentially ending his season. Brown declined to condemn the insult.
On the field, you're trying to beat your opponent, right? Trying to win, and the best way to do that is to show your strength. One of the ways you do that is to belittle your opponent.
His former Eagles teammates were enthusiastic in their support, writing in a social media post, "We love you, Mitch. We're proud of you and how you're living your values to make footy and our society a better place." Brown stepped into his new role with grace.
It is such a privilege, the fact that I can sit here and say I'm comfortable and strong in talking about my sexuality.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending August 30th, 2025. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon and Lucia Chappelle, produced by Brian Teshazer, and brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more. For This Way Out, I'm Ava Davis. Stay healthy.
And I'm Michael Taylor Gray. Stay safe.
Our listeners support This Way Out in many ways.
By subscribing to our e-newsletter.
Email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And through your financial contributions to our program.
More information about how you can give is online at thiswayout.org.
Thank you.
In the genre-fied music industry, it's rare for an artist to remind us that Christian and lesbian can harmonize quite nicely, thank you. One singer-songwriter has been striking that chord for longer than you might imagine on a journey from Kansas to Oz and back again. Jennifer Knapp talks with This Way Out's David Hunt about the unifying power of music and working for equality in faith communities.
Came from Kansas with a sound that shook, or should I say rocked, contemporary Christian music in the late 1990s. Breathtaking in her honesty, at times raucous, hell-bent, she said, on pounding her guitar into splinters. At other times serene, singing with the simple joy and simple faith of a new believer. A fresh, strong female voice in an industry that had fixed ideas about a woman's place in society. Jennifer Knapp challenged those conventions and carved out her own space, eventually, outside the insular world of Christian music. Today she's out, proud, and sometimes loud, writing and performing for a new generation of fans, with songs that speak to the joys and trials of modern life. Of love, longing, loss, and a recurring theme for Knapp, freedom.
In my blood, the son of a Kansas guy.
I'm David Hunt. Jennifer Knapp isn't in Kansas anymore. At the height of her success as a Christian rocker, she found the pressures and pace too much for her sanity or her soul. In 2002, she packed up her guitars and moved to Oz, Australia, to clear her head and nourish her heart. She found the courage to return to the United States 7 years later. Still a rocker, still a Christian, but no longer part of the contemporary Christian music scene. In 2010, she released a new studio album titled Letting Go, and let the world know that she's a proud lesbian. You've been around my neck so burdensome. You say I've changed you. Today, Knapp lives in Nashville, America's legendary home of country music, with her longtime partner. She's an author, speaker, and founder of Inside Out Faith, a nonprofit organization dedicated to advocating for LGBTQ+ rights within faith communities. Knapp is about to begin a 3-month tour of 32 cities across the U.S., but took time from a busy schedule to talk with me about her music, her faith, and Kansas. Our conversation got off to a rocky start. The 90s was an exciting time for Christian music.
You're already dating me. Thanks, David. It's lovely. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it just totally cracks me up. I love the 90s, so.
What I was trying to say, without making it seem like ancient history, is that a lot of new groups emerged in contemporary Christian music in the 1990s. Groups that sounded more like Pearl Jam than Debbie Boone. Groups like Jars of Clay, Cadiman's Call, and Third Day. Then there was Jennifer Knapp with her debut studio album, Kansas. Nobody had heard anything quite like it before on the Christian music scene. When she first toured in 1998, she opened for two popular all-male groups, Audio Adrenaline and DC Talk. Nearly every night for 4 months, Knapp recalled in her 2014 book, Facing the Music, I had to walk out onto a huge, dimly lit stage in front of over 1,000 amped up, mostly teenage, Christian music fans. All of them were there to have their heads blown off. And that's what she did.
I was definitely hanging out in Broland, and as the only chick hanging around in that environment, I really got to experience a lot of latitude in the sense that as an artist and as a creator and as an understandable different voice inside of that space, I did really feel like I got a sense of purchase. And when I showed up and I did my thing, that people were like, oh, wow, like this is a bit of a fresh breath.
And Kansas sold more than 500,000 copies.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it went gold. It was the shock of my life, really.
So what do you think it was in your music, in you, that people connected with?
You know, it's been 25 years, over 25 years. So I've, through that time, so many people have shared with me their experience of this record. When they talk about that record and the songs from that record, most of what people share with me are the stories of their lives. It makes sense because when I was, you know, as a kid writing those songs in my college apartment shared with, you know, five other women, that's what I was doing. I was just kind of writing these prayers and these anxieties toward God and wasn't in any way crafting a record for people to listen to. I was just having a private and personal experience. And somehow it's kind of wild how that translated down the line for people kind of just using those songs in the same way.
You're listening to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. From glass alabaster, she poured out the depths of her soul. I'm David Hunt. continuing my conversation with singer-songwriter Jennifer Knapp. In 2024, Knapp released Kansas 25, a new recording of her seminal debut studio album, Kansas. I asked Knapp what she heard when she listened to her performance on the original album and how that compared to her interpretation of the songs 25 years later on Kansas 25. She was in her early 20s when the original album was produced. I told her that I heard a difference. To me, her performance on the new album is deeper, more layered, perhaps carrying the weight of all the living and learning she's done since the late 90s.
Daddy, daddy, do you miss me? The way I called upon your knee. Those childish games of hide and seek now seem a million miles away.
I deeply appreciate that you've had that experience with the project, because that was really the biggest motivation in going and re-recording that. And I guess maybe in the form of a question, it was like, I know I've been through a lot in the 25 years since that kid wrote that record. And in a lot of ways, I recognized, at least in my own person, that I was the same person, but I was also different, and not in some like wildly different way. I mean, I think my theology has evolved. I think the way that I approach my spiritual life and journey has evolved, but it still hasn't, there hasn't been a gap. There hasn't been like a severance between those two points, right? Between the person that started it and the person I was now. And so the curiosity was, surely that has to sound different. Surely I sound different. And I think the personal curiosity to me was that if I went back and I performed that, would that connection prove to still be there? And also, would it also prove to sound and feel different the same way that you're describing? And I'm kind of personalizing that, but I was also thinking about that, and this is the real motivation to actually going and recording it, was with, particularly with my coming out. I came out as gay in 2010. And at that point, part of the argument was like, being gay and being a person of faith, particularly inside of evangelical communities, was often equated with some of the conservative gatekeepers as a loss of faith, like an absolute failure. And I'm like, that's wildly not true. We're all out here demonstrating that, right? These audiences of people who've had like these, whether it's coming out and being gay or a divorce or just some critical moment of, I don't believe in heaven or hell anymore, or I don't believe that the Bible is infallible, or all these kind of little nuances inside of the religious experiences that sometimes make us feel like we have to be disconnected if we're having those thoughts or those experiences. And with this record, I was meeting so many people who've gone through that experience and saying, weirdly, this music is, it means something different to me now than it did when I was 20.
The newer albums, there's a lot about sort of personal people-to-people type relationships and the struggles of loving and living with somebody. But let's just say they're less overtly religious.
As an artist, it's been really liberating to be able to continue to write without feeling like I have to uphold specifically Christianity, like I'm servicing Christianity, but rather to have what most of us experience in our daily lives is like, what is it like to live? And like, at the end of the day, art, to me, at its finest, reflects who we are and what we're experiencing. And it's not always about making a commentary or leading you to a particular destination. It's just an insight into that day and that moment in time.
Yeah, and you sort of anticipated one of my questions, which was, you know, if I was writing music, which I don't, I would want to have something figured out and then share it with people. But I get the sense in a lot of your songs that you haven't figured out the answer, that you're sort of exploring it and bringing me along for the ride. And I don't know if I like that sometimes. You know, some of these I got kind of teary on some of these because I'm like, you know, oh, that's sad.
I love it. I love it when I can make a grown man cry. Like that's a pinnacle, really. But now I think when I sit down to write, I'm often in my mind is a picture of somebody else or, you know, sometimes myself, but going, man, what's going on here? And just diving into the feeling and the moment of that experience and not thinking about the outcome, but really trying to capture that moment.
What does the future hold for Jennifer Knapp?
Starting in September, I'm out on the road all through the Midwest and the West Coast. So I've got 35 some odd shows. So make sure and stop by jenniferknapp.com to see the fullness of the touring schedule. And I'm also really excited because I just pieced together a little 5-song EP of just some of my favorite songwriters who have been inspiring to me. Tracy Chapman, Patti Griffin, Lucinda Williams, Mary Chapin Carpenter, and an Australian folk artist by the name of Paul Kelly. I did it with a producer, Matt Odemark from Jars of Clay. So we just popped in together and did this fun little thing. So I'll be performing those out on the tour. Make sure and see if you can meet me in real life. I love getting to see and meet people out on the road. It's going to be a good fall.
I'd like to thank Jennifer Knapp for sharing her time and story for this program. She's a Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter, author, speaker, and founder of Inside Out Faith, a nonprofit organization dedicated to advocating for LGBTQ rights within faith communities. Learn more about her music, her writings, and her upcoming tour at jenniferknapp.com. For This Way Out, I'm David Hunt.
You can reminisce, but you can bring it back. Oh, we'll find our dreams littered on the path. And try something new and forget the past.
You can hear more from singer-songwriter Jennifer Knapp on the extended podcast edition of her conversation with David Hunt at thiswayout.org. Thanks for finding This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. News Wrap was reported this week by Michael Taylor Gray and Ava Davis and produced by Brian DeShazer. David Hunt produced this week's feature. Creedence Clearwater Revival and Jennifer Knapp performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks Richard Merck and Brad Payton celebrating their 50th year together, Steve Sims of Seattle, Washington, and all the listener donors who make this program possible. Ask us about how you can join them. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email us at info@thiswayout.org, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and on 2BAY, Byron Bay, New South Wales, KUCR, Riverside, California, WDRT, Viracocha, Wisconsin, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned, y'all.